So this morning we're going to be continuing our series on generous living. Last week we looked at being generous with our time. And we said that the series passage, if you will, is taken from Proverbs chapter 11. It's kind of this overarching passage that covers this three-week series. And it says this in a message paraphrase. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. So last week we started, like I said, this generous living, and we looked at being generous with our time. And I said that although we looked at that, sometimes when you hear that word generosity, it's finance and money that comes to mind first and foremost. But it's more than our finances. It's more about this posture that we need to assume. It's about being intentional in how we live our lives, to live out an attitude and a heart of generosity. And so we looked at that importance first and foremost of being generous with our time and the way that can help to grow and expand our lives and our world. And we looked at that story of the Good Samaritan and how this Samaritan man went out of his way in order to help this guy in need. He inconvenienced himself in order to go over and serve someone else. Unlike those other two guys who just walked on by and said, I'm going to let someone else deal with this mess. He stopped. He interrupted his journey and his plans and made a movement and acted in order to serve someone else and meet a need. So if you weren't here last week, I encourage you, get online. The podcast is available on your apps or on the Hope Church website, hopechurchlytham.com. Go and have a look at that. So I thought, you know, it'd be important just to get through this series and look at this idea of generosity being one of our core values as a church. You know, we said that we're going to be a generous church. We're going to be known for our generosity. We're going to stick a stake in the ground and say, Hope Church Lytham are a generous people in the way that we do life, in the way that we build relationship, and in the way that we do church. So last week we looked at generous with our time, and this week we're going to look at being generous with our talents. So I'm going to take a portion of scripture that's well known from Matthew 25. It's called the Parable of the Talents. So we're just going to look at that quickly, and then I'm going to pull out some points that can help us to understand this idea of being generous with our talents. So it says this in Matthew 25, starting at verse 14. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. And also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground, and he hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who received 5 talents came forward, bringing the 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents, for to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away, and cast the worthless servant into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Let's just pray before we get into this. Lord God, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you're here with us. And we thank you that you gift us and bless us with so much. And I pray this morning as we delve into this idea of being generous with our talents, that you'll challenge us and you'll inspire us and you'll highlight the areas in our lives that we can be more generous. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So this morning we're going to be looking at being generous with our talents. You know, each and every person in here, each and every one of us in this room has a talent. Just think about that for a second. What is it that you're talented at? What's your talent? You may have more than one. You don't need to only have one. What is your talent? We each have a specific gift that has been given to us by God in order to help others and to enlarge his kingdom. So turn to the person next to you and say, "I am amazing." Oh, wow. You're not really feeling that, are you? I am amazing. Now, the humble of you in here this morning have said, "Oh, thank you very much." But then there are a few of you who are like, "Yeah, I'm pretty amazing, aren't I? Yeah, that's me. I'm pretty awesome." But you know, each and every one of you in this room is awesome. You are awesome. It's incredible because God has made you and God has gifted you with talents and with abilities that nobody can do apart from you. It's amazing, really, that each and every one of us here this morning has been given something, has been gifted something by God in order to extend his kingdom, in order to reach people, in order to serve him and bring glory to his name. And it's really important that we know what our talent is, that we know what our talents are, what God has gifted us with. You know, I mentioned last week that I am rubbish at DIY, absolutely useless. Painting, decorating, building, definitely not. That is not me. So I don't waste my time on trying to do those things because I know full well that I can't do them. So I don't invest my time in that. But I do feel that God has gifted me with the ability to share his word and the ability to shine a light on the scripture in order to help other people to grow and develop in their faith. So I invest my time in doing that to get better at the thing that I feel God has gifted me with. Do you know, early on in life, I was encouraged to spend time getting better at the things that I was rubbish at. So at school, for example, I was pretty rubbish at maths and at science. So the teachers were like, "Well, you just need to work harder. Just spend more time revising, spend more time studying in these subjects that you're not very good at so you can get better at them." Well, as life's gone on, I've realized that actually that's not particularly useful. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't study. The kids have gone out now, but you college students, you still need to study and work hard at stuff. But actually, we should spend time focusing on the things that we're good at. And it's great, actually, because you are college-age students, those of you who are in here. So Taya knows now what she's good at, and she's just put all her eggs in one basket and said, "This is what I'm going to study at college." So she's doing that. She's seen what God has gifted her with, and she's pursuing that, and that's fantastic to see. And that you see that across the world of business as well. There's people who have recognized their gifts and their talents and they invest in that in order to get better at what they do. So people like Steve Jobs and Mark Zuckerberg, now they're coders by nature, so they're really techie guys who are great at making computer software do stuff that I'm sure almost no one in this room, if any of us, can do. So they invested their time in learning and growing and expanding at this ability so that they can make them, so that they can achieve something that's the best thing they can achieve. And I think it's fair to say that their businesses have flourished because of that. And then there's the founder of Starbucks, Howard Schultz. Now he's not a barista by nature. He's a marketing guy. So he invested his time in marketing and growing that skill so that he can make something of himself. And although the coffee might be great, I don't drink coffee, so I don't know if Starbucks is any better than the rest of them, but the coffee might be great, but actually the marketing of Starbucks and the way that they promote themselves is amazing. And there's now this culture of people that go to Starbucks because of the atmosphere and the environment and the culture that they have built and created because of the work that he has invested in himself. So this morning, I want to just take a quick look at this scripture and pull out three things that can help us to understand what we have been given by God, what talents and gifts we have been given, and how we can then use that to grow and expand the kingdom of God. Because I believe that sometimes we can be a bit like that servant in the story who was given one talent. We can just dig a hole and put it in the ground and not really put it to good use. You know, perhaps we just don't realize the value of this gift that we've been given. So we just bury it in the ground and forget about it and leave it to gather dust. You know, maybe it's a fear. There was this fear with that servant. They didn't want to go out and invest the money and lose it, so he just buried it. So maybe we've got a gift from God, and there's a fear that's stopping us investing that in his kingdom. Or maybe it's laziness or apathy, or whatever it is that's this barrier to stop us investing our talents. God wants to say, no, be like these other guys who invest in it and spend time in it and grow it and develop it to benefit his kingdom. So I don't want you and I don't want me to be like that man who was given something by God and then let it go to waste and didn't use it. I want us to invest in these things that God's given us so that we can grow and we can develop and we can use them for his goodness. Because, you know, it's liberating when you realize the gift you've got from God, when you realize the purpose that he's called us for, and you start to live that out in your life. It's so liberating. You know, there's nothing better than living to purpose. But too many of us dig a hole and bury our talents and let them go to waste, whether it's because of negative words spoken over us or whatever it is, and we just give up and we say, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. But I'm here to tell you that God hasn't just gifted you, he requires that gift. He requires that talent. So point number one this morning is recognize your gifts. Recognize your gifts. You know, every one of us in this room, just take a quick look around, every one of us is different. Aren't you glad we don't all look the same? But we've all been made up very differently. You are a bespoke design. You're one of a kind. You're unique and you're perfect in that. But on the flip side of that, we're actually all the same. So we're completely unique in one sense, but also we're completely the same. And what do I mean by that? Well, we were all designed in the image of God. We were all designed in the image of God. And I believe that God has placed destiny, that God has placed purpose, that God has placed giftings and talents in each and every one of our lives, whether we recognize it or not. God has placed something inside of you that makes you incredible, that makes you different to every other person in this room, that's very different to the things that they can do, but they've been given to you for a specific purpose to help to advance his kingdom. But actually, we need to first and foremost recognize that. We need to recognize what it is that God has given to us. Because you're valuable. You are incredibly valuable. You're an incredible masterpiece, a perfect creation. The Bible says that you have been fearfully and wonderfully made, that you were made by God and for God. And he gave you something. When he created you, he gave you something of his incredible DNA that now lives within you. It now lives within you and it has these great giftings and talents. I believe that someone this morning needs to hear that. You are an incredible masterpiece, a perfect creation with gifts and talents given to you by God. So first and foremost, we need to recognize our talents. But secondly, we need to not only recognize them, but we need to recognize the opportunity and the responsibility that we have with them. Not only is there an opportunity for us to use our gifts for God, for His glory, to expand His kingdom, but there's actually a responsibility on that. You know, as Uncle Ben said to the young Peter Parker, with great power comes great responsibility. And actually, that's really applicable because we've been given these gifts by God to use to advance His kingdom. And we don't just have the opportunity to do that. There's a responsibility on our lives to recognize that and to use it, to put it into action. Do you know, like I've already said, there's people in here who can do things that I can't do. And that's okay, because there's also people in here who can't do the things I can do, because we've each been made for a specific purpose. But we need to do the thing that we've been called to do. We need to do the thing we've been called to do. And sometimes it's about unlocking a door. Sometimes your role is about unlocking a door for someone else. When you do that thing that you've been gifted and purposed to do, you might not realize it, but that thing might unlock the door for somebody else to then go and achieve their purpose. Do you know, I believe firmly that when Jill and Steve walked into this church, that their purpose was to unlock something in my life. They changed me completely through some conversations, through relationships. They changed the course of my life forever, and I am so grateful for that. Because sometimes when you're called to do something, when you have a purpose in your life and you live that out, you can unlock the door in someone else's life for them to then go on and achieve what they're supposed to achieve. We have a responsibility. It's not just an opportunity to be able to do things, but a responsibility to be able to do that, because we might be unaware of the eternal importance of that thing. Do you know, it doesn't matter what your gifts and talents are. We've already said that we all have something different inside of us. But the important thing is that you glorify God by living that out, that you glorify His name by doing that thing that God has called you to do. Because when we live it out, when we live to purpose, we testify to His goodness through our actions. Now, Malcolm is an incredible human being. He is an incredible man of God. And one of his giftings is baking. Now, yesterday was Caleb's 7th birthday. I cannot believe how fast time has gone, and it makes me feel really old that he's 7. But he turned 7 yesterday. And I wanted to bake him a cake because I did that like his first and second birthday. I baked him a cake. And then I got lazy and just started buying cakes. But I thought this year, no, I'm going to bake him a cake. So I got this vision. I got this plan. I'm going to bake him a Batman cake. He loves Batman. I'm going to bake him this cake. So I found a design. I was like, I could probably do this. It's not that tricky. I'm going to do it. And then Ruth said to me, oh, I found this Batman cake online at Tesco. Have a look. It was almost identical to the cake I was going to make. And I was like, well, I probably won't bother making it then, because that one will not only look better, but it will taste better. So we bought this cake for Caleb's birthday, which is probably okay. Like I say, it tasted much better than the cake I would make. But then on Wednesday at worship practice, Malcolm said to me, oh, I'll bake you a cake for Caleb's birthday. Now, I had actually baked some cupcakes for the birthday because I wanted to do something. But they didn't work out so great, if I'm honest. And we knew we'd bought him this cake. But then when Malcolm came to me and said, oh, I'll bake you a cake. Well, I'm not the kind of guy to turn down cake. So I just kind of said, yeah, okay, that'd be great. And he baked Caleb these two amazing cakes, both chocolate, very rich, one covered in marshmallows and one covered in Smarties. And they looked amazing. Oh, they looked amazing. And then when we tasted them, they were incredible. You know, if you were to rank the cakes that happened at that party, it was like my cupcakes, they didn't even make it out the freezer. They were so bad. Then there was the shop-bought cake. And then there was Malcolm's cakes. They were incredible. Now, we've kept some back. They were two large cakes. So there's some at the end of the service that you can have and sample it. But God has gifted this man with the ability to be able to bake and bake well. And you know, he doesn't just bake because he likes doing it. I believe that when he bakes cakes in that way, when he does it for church, or when he gifts it to people like he did, he's honoring God by doing this. He's worshiping God through baking. It's incredible, and it's a blessing to him because I know he enjoys it and he's fulfilling that purpose in his life, but it's a blessing to those of us who get to eat those cakes. Oh, I tell you. It's incredible. So God's gifted us with talents and abilities, and when we use them, when we live them, and when we walk those out, it's a blessing not only to us because we're living to purpose, but it's a blessing to those around us. When we recognize the opportunity and the responsibility that we have through using the talents that God has placed on our lives, it's incredible. It really is. But sometimes we don't use them. For some reason, we realize that there's a gift on our life and we don't use it. Like I said before, maybe it's through fear. Maybe something's happened in your life where fear has come in and you no longer feel that you can do that thing that God has called you to do. Something has rocked you or knocked your boat or kind of knocked you off kilter, and you feel, I can't do this thing any longer. Well, the remedy to fear, I believe, is one thing, and that's courage. The remedy to fear is courage. We need to understand that fear may still be there. That fear, whatever it is that's caused us to have a fear, might still be there, but we need to have the courage to push through anyway. We need to take hold of courage, no matter what is coming against us, and push through anyway. Even though we might still feel fear, take hold of courage and step out. Take hold of courage and let God use you to the very best of your ability. Do you know, maybe it's laziness that's stopping us to walking out our purpose. Maybe it's laziness that's stopping us fulfilling the purpose that God's placed on our lives. Well, let me give you a little nugget here. The solution to laziness is to rest more. What? The solution to laziness is to rest more. Do you know, sometimes we can be lazy with the things that God gives us to do because we're too busy doing the things that are unimportant. We're too busy running around trying to fulfill and trying to do the things that we think are important that we're being lazy about fulfilling what God's called us to. You know, sometimes we just need to prioritize. Sometimes we just need to prioritize. Now, I write lists at work. I write lists of things that I need to get done, whether it's that day or that week. And I have found over time that there are things on that list that are still on that list from a long time ago. They just stay there, and they just stay there, and they just stay there. And I do the things that I'm comfortable with. I see this list of things and I go, I definitely need to achieve all of these things this week. Where am I going to start? Well, I'm going to pick the easiest. I'm going to pick the easiest route because I'm being lazy. There's a laziness there that's stopping me from doing the thing that's most important, because sometimes the thing that's most important is the thing that's the hardest to do. So we need to look at that list and we need to prioritize. We need to understand and recognize what God is calling us to do and to prioritize His will over our own. So perhaps it's time for us to prioritize the right things and stop being lazy in that sense with the things that are less important. You know, we need to just get our priorities in order. And the Bible's quite clear about what our priorities should be. It says, number one, we need to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. And number two, love your neighbor as yourself. The Bible's pretty clear about where our priorities should lie. And the Bible also says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be given to you. The Bible is pretty clear about where we should be prioritizing things in our lives. So maybe we just need to look at that life to-do list and see if our priorities are in line. I also think it's important that we don't get caught up in the busyness of life. In the busyness of life, that we don't allow ourselves to get distracted by these things of little importance, but begin to prioritize and bring into line the things that God's calling us to do. You know, we live in a world that's pulling us left, right, and center. It's asking us to do all kinds of things that's keeping us busy. But I think that this kind of culture, this idea of it's important to be busy is wrong. And actually, sometimes I think we think that if we're spotted just sitting and reading a book and having a cup of tea, that people judge us for being lazy. But it's okay to take a break. It's okay to just pause for a minute, to just pause and rest and relax, because actually out of that rest, you then get the energy and the passion and the fulfillment again to go out and do the things that God has called us to do. Because the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Do you know, I think busyness is so infectious within our life and within our culture that actually we're not just busy people, we're also busy prayers. You know, I think we've got this to-do list in our heads when we come to pray. You know, oh, I know that I need to tell God how amazing he is, and then I need to let you know all the stuff that I've been doing wrong this week or today. I need to thank you for all you've done for me, and then I've got this huge shopping list of things that I want you to help me out with. So we kind of rattle through this list sometimes because we know that we've got things we should do when we pray, and we know we've got things we want to talk about when we pray. But do we just stop? Do we just pause sometimes? You know, prayer doesn't need to be hard. You can pray with a cup of tea or coffee in your hand. That's okay. You can stand in the shower and pray. When you've got 5 minutes to just pause, or maybe you want to invest, you know, half an hour and just sit. And instead of rattling through this praying to-do list, we just sit and say, God, what do you want to say to me? What do you want to say into my life? What am I not hearing? You know, prayer is a conversation, but sometimes we just treat it like a lecture. We just talk at God. We just talk at him, and we don't give him chance to respond. So just pause. I encourage you this week, find some space. Find some space to just grab a brew and sit down with God and say, I'm here. Let's chat. What do you want to say to me today? So maybe it's fear, maybe it's laziness, maybe it's busyness, whatever it is that's stopping us from living to purpose, we need to realize that God has called us to something important, and we don't just have an opportunity to do that, we've got a responsibility to do that. And the third thing is that we need to rejoice in the reward. We need to rejoice in the reward. You know, the gifts and the talents that God has placed in each and every one of our lives have been given specifically to you. Specifically to you for a specific purpose. God knew you before you were born. He saw you before you were created, and he said, this person is going to do this in their time. So he gifted you with something. He gifted you with something. He put that in your DNA so that when you were born and as you start to grow and as you start to develop, he'll position you within a certain group, within a certain community, so that that specific thing, that specific purpose that he put in your life can come to fruition. So that specific skill, that specific gift, that specific talent that he has invested into your life can be used to impact the people he knew you would be around. And we need to rejoice in that. We need to realize the importance of that. We need to realize the awesomeness of God to be able to plan that out. It's unfathomable to be able to understand this God, knowing the billions of people that were going to be born onto this planet, and to gift them each with something very specific to then impact their specific community. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. You know, not everyone in this room has been called to be a preacher or to be an evangelist, but every single person who comes to know Christ has been called to share the gospel. Every single person has a calling on their lives to be able to share the good news of Christ. And it might not be from a platform like this, but God's called us to share his love through the way in which we act. He's gifted us, like I said with Malcolm, to be able to live out that thing that he's put in your life, and that will have an impact on someone else. You can show God's love, not necessarily through talking at them or through preaching or through anything like that, but just through doing the thing that God has gifted you with. So this comes right back to the start, right back to point one. Recognize what it is that God's gifted you. Understand we have an opportunity and a responsibility in order to be able to do that. God made you perfectly to influence the people that he's placed you amongst. He's gifted you with everything that you need in order to be able to do that. It's this idea of being naturally supernatural. We can do the supernatural work of God simply by doing the thing that comes most naturally to us. What a privilege. What an honor when we realize that we can have an eternal impact on people around us just by doing the thing that comes naturally to us. Wow. So are we going to be people that hide that gift that God has given us? Are we going to be people that just let it fall to the ground and collect dust because of fear or laziness or busyness or whatever it is that's stopping us using that talent? Or are we going to give those gifts over to him? Are we going to say, you've given me this and I give it back to you to use however you see fit? Use me in whatever way you have purposed me to do. Are we going to say to God, I will, to the very best of my ability, be the person that you have called me to be? Because something incredible happens when we do that. Something incredible happens when we do that. The Bible says it multiplies. The Bible says when we use our talents, they'll multiply. They'll begin to grow. And our world will begin to enlarge, and the people around us will be impacted because we're using the gifts and the talents that God has gifted us with. And all we need to do is be open to God, to let him do through us the thing that he's gifted us with. So recognize your gifts. If you're not sure right now what you've been gifted with by God, then we said this before, but just start with what you enjoy doing. What's your passion? What do you love? It may well be as simple as that. So recognize what it is you've been gifted with. Recognize the opportunity you have and the responsibility you have to use it. And then rejoice in the reward as you use it and as you see it impact your surroundings and your community and you see it grow and flourish. It's an incredible thing to live to purpose. Is that good? Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you so much that you are this awesome creator that can plan and create this masterpiece of life with billions of people, each gifted with something from you. And we thank you that you've put something within our lives that we can do to grow your kingdom. Lord God, I pray that each and every person here this morning will know without a shadow of a doubt what it is that you've put in their lives, without a shadow of a doubt what it is that you've called them to. And may we recognize that. May we recognize the importance of what that means. That not only should we be doing that thing, but that it has a significant importance. That when we live to purpose, it can impact those around us. When we live to purpose, it can have an eternal impact on others' lives. So we praise you and thank you that we get the privilege and the honor to be able to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.